I do appreciate your presence this day. I appreciate you continuing to pray for me. I want to read one verse of scripture from Psalms, the 9th Psalm, 17th verse. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's from the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a word that's a little stronger, and I want to use it today. Cast into hell. When I first began in the ministry, the Lord would put subject on my heart like this. And I feel like that He's wanting me to preach to the lost. And I'd get to a church somewhere and I'd wonder if there's any lost there. And it would bother me. I was in West Virginia and there's a young preacher. He got ready to preach and he said, he gave his subject like this. I don't remember what his subject was, but he said, I don't know whether there's any loss here or not, but you folks can take it to them. Yeah. Ever since then, when I have a subject like this, I think I'm preaching to everybody. If you're lost today, you need to hear the message and you need to do something about it. If you're saved, you need to take it on to somebody else. The wicked in all nations shall be cast into hell. They shall be. You ought to be concerned about that this morning. Whether you're lost or saved. All of us have family and friends, neighbors that are lost. We need to be concerned about them. Because if they don't get right with God, they're going to be cast into hell. Literally cast into hell. The angels will do that. I think I want to talk just a little bit about what the hell is. What to be cast into. Everybody is familiar with Luke 16. I thought about reading that this morning. Where the rich man died, lift up his eyes in hell, been in torments. He was in the flames of hell. The angels had cast him there. And he was in torment. Hell is called a lake of fire. I can remember I used to think about that a lot. And then one day I thought of it like this. There's a sun up there and a lot of stars that are bigger than it is. But that's a gassy fire. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles deep. You talk about a lake of fire, that is one. Now the sun's not hell. But it must be something like that. I wouldn't know how else to describe a lake of fire, but people are engulfed in it. But you imagine how hot that sun is. The scientist says 93 million miles from here, and it'll burn you, sunburn you. Suppose you were walking or on the surface of that thing and the flames above you, hundreds and hundreds and maybe a thousand miles deep. You talk about a terrible place. Now hell is something like that. You'll be engulfed in flames. Just for a few moments would be terrible. But you'll be like Moses' bush. You'll be burning, but you won't burn up. You'll be suffering death, dying and dying, but never dying. The flames are forever. Boy, I can tell you right now, they can tell you how bad the coronavirus is, how bad flu is, how bad cancer is, but nothing is like the danger of hell. I'd rather have any of it than be lost this morning. I'd rather have the worst cancer that you could think of or name than to be lost. I'm thankful above all things this morning to be saved. A lot of things to be afraid of. But number one, if you're lost, should be hell. Amen. And the Almighty God. Because if you don't get right, He's going to call your life to the end, and His angels are going to cast you in to that awful place. I've often thought one real bad thing in the depths of hell is remembering you had this chance this morning. If you're lost, if you pass it up, you'll remember this day and all the other times you've just turned the Lord away. You better get right. Hell is real. And you're headed toward that thing. Think about it and get ready. We're always hearing these mass shootings. People ain't right upstairs killing people. No apparent reason. But you know what Jesus said? He said this in Luke 12, 4 and 5. He said, "Friends, I'll forewarn you whom to fear." He said, "Fear not them that can kill the body and can do no more." Not forewarn you. Fear him who after he's killed can also cast into hell. I remember years ago, I managed routes for Coca-Cola in Lebanon, Tennessee. And I'd get over there 4:30 in the morning. And I got over beyond what they call Payne Store, Highway 25 crosses 231. And there's a long straight stretch over there, and I could see a car coming. Dark as pitch, and he was doing okay. But when it got just a little piece from me, he come plumb over in my lane, and I had to turn that car like that right off, go off in a ditch, and I wrestled with it. Back then, I do a lot of fishing, and I had My battery wasn't tied down. I'd used a trolling motor. I wrestled with that thing, and I got it headed back up in the road. And the battery come loose, and the headlights went out, and it dark as pitch, and I went spinning out through the night. I was called to preach at the time, wasn't preaching. That's all I think about when I'm spinning around going out through there. But I don't believe my blood pressure raised one little bit. I'm ready to die. I ain't afraid of dying. I ain't in no hurry, but I am not afraid. Are you afraid? The Lord saved me. If you're not saved this morning, you need to be afraid to die without God, because His angels are going to cast you into hell. That's what He said. Yeah, men can just kill the body. And that's all it can do. But God can, and He will have you cast into hell, where the flames just don't go out. Tormented forever and ever and ever and ever. Think about this seriously this morning. If you're saved, think about it seriously. Family and friends. We need to use every opportunity we have. I often pray, Lord, give us opportunities and help us to take advantage of them. I think I need to pray stronger for Him to help us take advantage of them, because I think we all have opportunities, and I fail sometimes. Lost people are dying, going to hell. Lots of them die today and lift up their eyes in hell. You know, the most people that die are going to hell. Jesus says it's a narrow way, and few be that go in thereat. That's what He said. Most people just won't heed the call. When God calls, they just won't heed it. And one day, they're took out of here, and they lift up their eyes like that rich man in the devil's hell. Jesus gives us a scripture in Mark 9, chapter 9, verse 43 through 48. He gives us some scripture to help us think about how serious it is. He said, if your hand offends you, just cut it off. Now, He don't want you to cut your hand off. When He said offending, He's talking about things hindering you from getting right with God. If your hand offends you, just cut it off. He said, it's better to go into life maimed with one hand than going to a hell with both hands, where the worm doth not and the fire is not quenched. Don't you think that's serious? He's trying to tell us it's serious. It's serious enough. It doesn't just tell us once either. He said, if your foot offends you, cut it off. He don't want you to cut your foot off, but He wants you to know how serious it is. This is a serious thing, to be lost and without God. Better go into life or the kingdom of God halt with one foot than to be cast into hell and the fire that's never quenched, where the worm doth not and the fire's not quenched. It's serious to cut a foot or a hand off. That's what he's telling you this, because it's serious. He wants you to know how serious it is to let anything hinder you from getting right with God. Nothing. Don't let anything hinder you from getting right with God. He said, if I offend you, well, just pluck it out. He don't want you to pluck your eye out either. But he wants you to know how serious this thing is. 3 times here. Had your hand off, your foot off, pluck your eye out. Better to go into the kingdom of God with one eye. This time he uses a word. Then to be cast into hell with two. Serious now. Get it. It's serious. He said, cast into hell. Where the fire is not quenched. Where the worm doth not and the fire is not quenched. He makes it clear and plain. It's serious, really serious, to let anything hinder you from getting right with God and escaping this awful place. Don't let anything hinder you. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, there's a man sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, an enemy sowed tares in the field. And when the blade had sprung up and the seed was on, the men told the man, said, didn't you sow good seed in your field? There's tares in the field. And he said, the enemy's done this. They said, would you have us to go out there in the field and root up the tares and put them in bundles? And he said, no, lest at this time you root up the wheat too. Let them grow. Not to harvest the tares, be put in bundles. First, cast into the fire. Then you bring the wheat into my barn. Later on, after Jesus got the multitudes to leave, the disciples asked him about that parable. They wanted him to explain what was going on there with that parable. He said, the man that sowed good seed in his field is the Son of Man, or Jesus himself. He said, the field is the world. He said, the enemy is the wicked one. He said, the good seed are the children of the king. The tares. There are the children of the devil. You know, Jesus said, if you're not the children of God, you're children of the devil. Obeying him, following him. You're going to follow him right into hell. One day he's going there himself. Listen. He said the harvest is the end of the world. He said at the harvest, he'd tell angels to go out and bring his children in. All the others going to be cast into hell. Jesus taught this thing I'm teaching you today. I'm teaching you what Jesus said. Every word that the Lord Jesus said is important. I'm trying to teach you this morning to get it in your head how serious this is and how serious it is and how quick you need to get right with God. Don't wait. Get right with God now. The night that I got saved, the preachers preached on the, I was just 13-year-old and I still remember. He preached on the 6 of the 7 seals in the book of Revelations. I have no idea what he said about the first 5. Boy, he bore down on the 6th one, the end of the world. He talked about Jesus coming back, splitting the eastern sky, the sun turning black as sackcloth of hair, the moon turning his blood, stars falling. Men running, crying for rocks and mountains to hide them, for him that sat on the throne. Oh, it's an awful time. It's an awful time. Oh, the Lord said he'd gather all his sin. The mothers be cast into a furnace of fire. That furnace of fire is hell. Listen. If you're lost, get right. If you're a child of God, tell somebody else what you've got and what they need and why they need it. Warn them. Yes, when the Lord comes back, all the dead is going to rise. There's going to be a great judgment day. The angels are going to go out into the world and he's going to gather in all the righteous and set them on the right hand of the Lord. All the wicked on the other side. There's not going to be no mixed multitudes. They're either going to be righteous or they're going to be wicked. There's not two kinds that day. Let me tell you a few things right here. John the Baptist said, "Now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire." I want to tell you, when a man is born again, when he's regenerated, when he's made a new creature inside in Christ Jesus, that inward man never sins again. He's a new man inside that never sins again. Paul talked about his failures. He said, "That that I would do, I do not. That that I would not, let I do. But it is not I that sin, but it's the sin that's in my flesh." We have a warfare within us. Inward man wanting to do what God wants and outward man wanting to do what we want. There's a constant warfare there. But there's no warfare like that. Some of them have a conscience. They've been taught right from wrong and have a conscience. But they have not the Spirit of God within them. If you're not been born again this morning, you've never done one thing to please God. Listen to me. I'm going to prove it. That's why everybody on the left hand is going to be totally, totally wicked. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8th chapter, Verse 7, he says, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. It takes a spiritual mind. He said, goes on to the next verse, and he says, so then, they that are in the flesh can not please God. Now let me define that. He says, so then, if you have the Spirit of God within you, oh, you got to have that in there. You're not in the flesh. You hear me? There's got to be a change. You changed in there. On that great judgment day, these old bodies that are that have Adam's nature, on that judgment morning, they're going to be changed. Those that are alive will be changed. Those that are raised from the grave, that have been born again, they're going to have new bodies. John said, we not know what they'll be like, but when we see him, be like him. That's perfect, isn't it? That's the way you're going to stand before the judgment bar of God. A spirit that's never sinned and a new body that's never spent. Sinners will be in the old body just raised from the grave like they were. The spirit hasn't been changed, so they're said to be. He said, you separate them like shepherd. Separate the goat from the sheep. Put the goats on the left hand, sheep on the right. That's the way it'll do that day. Those that are born again will be on the right. Those that haven't been will be on the left. He'll say, those on the left, depart from me, you curse, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. To those on the right, he'll say, come, ye blessed of my Father. It's a kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Two vast different places. I'm glad that I've been born again. Wasn't nothing that I'd done, but it's what he done for me. You can't do nothing. You can't do nothing. Take repentance and faith. And you can't do that alone. But God will help you. God will help you. The Apostle Paul said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't come any other way, folks. You can't buy it. You can't steal it. You can't rent it. I hear preachers talking like God just stick it in there. No, sir. God sends the witnesses. He sends the preacher. You hear the message. The Holy Spirit endures the word with power, and he makes you a believer. Paul said, our gospel come not to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. When the word is preached and there's power in it, if you don't turn it off, God will bring you to a point that you believe what you're hearing, and you'll seek God, and you can get saved when you trust the Lord. And when you get to that helpless state, you will just throw yourself on his mercy like a child. A baby that depends on mom and dad. That's where you got to come, to a helpless state. When you get there, then you're at the place that you can just look to Jesus. Oh, I remember so well the night, about midnight, July 1952. I had prayed and I'd prayed and I'd prayed and I'd prayed. Finally, as hopeless as I could be, I'm going to hell. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Nothing nobody else can do about it. I remembered what to say. Jesus says, and I just looked toward heaven. I can remember what I said. I don't think it makes any difference what you say, but I can remember what I said. I said, Lord, if I'm ever saved, you're going to have to do it. I'd come to that place. That's what I believed. And I'd just put my soul in his hands. And that's what he wants you to do. trust Him. Peace will flood your soul. You'll never be lost again. You'll never have to go to that awful place. But you can go to heaven with us. It'll be a wonderful time. I appreciate you listening this morning. If you're lost today, is when you ought to get saved. Right now, don't put it off. I want us to stand together, have a song, and if you're lost, this altar's open. We'd love for you to come and pray, and we'll pray with you. Stay with you as long as you want to stay. We'll stay here and pray with you. We want you to be saved. We really do. And the Lord does. That's why He died at Calvary, to pay your sin debt for you. It's already paid.
Number 81. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood wash it for me, and that Thy bids me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting.
If you're lost, seek the Lord. To never, ever.
This is the best time.
Whose blood.